If you have a copy of God's Word, John chapter 1, we will begin a sermon series on John the Baptist, and this will take several months. I'm excited to preach about his life, his ministry, and as we go through the scripture together, we will see many spiritual issues and topics brought up that we will handle accordingly as the Word of God dictates it to be. As we think about John, in the few weeks, we'll handle some verses that will be descriptive of our message series. He was asked, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Are you the Christ?" And he simply replied to them, "I'm just the voice, a voice in the wilderness." And that's how we're going to encapsulate John and his life. Today, we'll be in John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 6, and then we'll be throughout verses in chapter 1, and we should have most of these on the screen. So John chapter 1, we're going to start in verse number 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." In today's message, we're going to see just some very big descriptions about John. We're going to see a lot of information about Jesus, and then we're going to see what happened with the message of John concerning Jesus. Now, there's lots of details about John the Baptist we'll handle at the right time. But one of the big characteristics of John the Baptist, he's associated with Jesus Christ. He's linked together. They're together in person, or John is preaching about Jesus or alluding to Jesus. And later on in the Gospels, Jesus will talk about John. He'll talk about his preaching, about his prayer life. But today, I just want you to see John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, associated with Jesus. They're linked together. So first, as we talk about John, here is point number one. He is a man sent from God. A man sent from God. John the Baptist was a man. We don't need to clarify that anymore. He's a man. He is an ordinary man, nothing more, nothing less. He is a man of flesh and blood, just like you and I. And throughout the sermon series, you're going to see John as a man. Some of the issues of life he goes through, he is a man. There's a great danger as we read God's word that sometimes we tend to elevate people in Scripture beyond their capabilities. Like when we read about Daniel, we think, oh man, he is more than just a man. Or the book of Ruth, we just went through that great book together. Wow, she is something extraordinary. Whether it's Daniel, Ruth, or John the Baptizer, all of them are ordinary people like you and I. John was a man, an ordinary man. And sometimes we put them on pedestals they don't deserve to be on. They are just like us. Even Elijah. If I panned the room today or asked our church family who is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, I dare say majority would say Elijah. I mean, fire was called down upon the prophets of Baal. Miracles are associated with his ministry. But even Elijah, Scripture says, is a man like us. James chapter 5 gives us the details of that. It says in verses 17 and 18, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Elijah, a man like us. One of the questions they talked to with John, "Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No, I'm just a voice." Even Elijah, John, Ruth, Daniel, ordinary people. Ordinary people. So what's so special about John the Baptist then? Thank you for asking. He was on a mission from God. So he is not just an ordinary person, he had a purpose from God. He was on a mission from God himself. It sounds a lot like the Blues Brothers. Like, we're on a mission from God. That'll be the only time I try to quote John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, by the way. God sent John on a mission. His purpose for his life was to be a prophet, to speak the message of God, to be the messenger. It says in the text, he was a witness to the truth, a witness to his kinsman, Christ. That's all he was. He was a witness to the light. Scripture says he was a witness, but he was not the light. Why? Because he was just a man on a mission, a man on purpose. So why did John the Baptist come? What was so special about John the Baptist? He came so that people would believe in Christ. And we say believe means come to faith, give their life to him, start a relationship with God. What's so remarkable is he was just an ordinary man. In 2007, UPS, United Parcel Service, they wanted to do an ad campaign to show the simplicity of the shipping process. Instead of that, how about they just get our box to our home at the right time? Amen, amen. Share that message with FedEx and share that with Amazon. Amen and amen. That's not part of the illustration, though. And so in 2007, they wanted to show the process of shipping from beginning to end. And so they chose to use a whiteboard. And so they sought out TV-friendly personalities to be the character of these commercials. They were searching for just the right person. And they ended up with a UPS employee who had a passion not for acting, but in advertising. And in fact, this non-performer was a floppy-haired guy that stood in front of a whiteboard on a regular basis. His name was Andy Azula, and he actually worked for UPS in the marketing department. And he was the creative director for this campaign, these series of ads. And he wanted to show the group, the crew, what it would look like. And so he got in front of the whiteboard and demonstrated what the shipping process would look like. And in reviews, in advisory councils, the ordinary viewer had more in common with that guy than they did with actors and actresses. And he unbeknownst became the figurehead in 2007 for UPS shipping. Just an ordinary guy that had a passion for the message. Think of that with John. A man, ordinary man, sent from God so that people would believe. Had a great message. Back in John chapter 1, we're going to move on from John the Baptist for a moment to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, and then we're also going to look at verse 15, it says this, the true light, not John, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. If you'll go down to verse number 15, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. We see John as a man sent from God, but number two, we see Jesus as God sent to man. No longer is it man on a mission. This is God on a mission. So whenever we see John, we can't help but see the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether he's there in person or whether he's there in the message, we see Jesus. Now, John was on a mission. So was Jesus. John was just a man, but Jesus was so much more than that. He was the Son of God, sent by God the Father to accomplish his mission. And in John chapter 1, we have more details about Jesus than we do John the Baptist. So for a few moments, let me show you these details. The first is Jesus described as the Word. In the prologue, which is referred to in John chapter 1, The first three verses, it describes Jesus as the Word. Very familiar passage of Scripture, a great, beautiful theological depth. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The eternal God stepped out of the abode of heaven to come on a mission for us. Now, Jesus, the personification of the Word of God, the eternal God who's lived forever in both directions, is here in John chapter 1, and John is speaking about him. Not only is he the Word of God, in chapter 1, he is described as the light, the only light, in fact. In verses 4 and 5 of that chapter, it says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This beautiful imagery concerning Jesus as the light unto the world, the only light that the world needs. And it says in the text that John the Baptist is not that light. He's just a messenger. He's a witness to the light. We don't need another prophet. We need God, the light. Why is that? Thank you for asking. Because the light shines in the darkness. And the only real change can come when people get in the light of God. It's the only source that can counteract the darkness in their souls. And by the way, it's the only thing that can counteract the darkness in our society. Christians need to hear that this presidential election season, just so you know, amen and amen. It's the only source we need. And he describes himself as light. Now, John, the beloved disciple, describes this interaction in John chapter 1, but also Jesus refers to himself as the light. John chapter 8, it says this, again, Jesus spoke to them, the Pharisees, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. Jesus is the light of God. And when people see themselves in the light, they become changed. That's the only way people can change. We can't legislate change. It's got to be in the holy light of God. Jesus as the Word, Jesus as light, and here in the text it says that Jesus is also man. Now he's not the same as John. John is 100% man. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. So that makes us 200% confused. That's called the hypostatic union, technically. How can that be? That's been the greatest questions in Christendom for the years. They have whole Christian councils about this. How can he have a dual nature, be fully God and yet fully man? Mathematically, it doesn't make sense, but theologically, it is beautiful. Jesus as the Word of God, Jesus as light, and Scripture says that he is a man. It says in verse 14. Now, we used that verse at Christmas time last year for our Christmas messages. It says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You say, Pastor, that sounds like a Christmas message. We'll get to some Christmas narratives in John's life. We could have handled that today, but we're going to save that more towards November, December, because if Walmart and Lowe's can put out their Christmas decoration during the summertime, we can talk about Christmas too. It's never too early. Amen and amen. Fully God, yet fully man, he came and experienced everything we've experienced. He's experienced the temptation of sin, yet he never failed. He's had his family, his friends betray him. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He is the Word. He is the light. And he is the man. He is God sent to man. In the text, it says that the message, the witnessing of John about Jesus was either rejected or received. So let's get to the text, verse 10 and 11, concerning this message. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Concerning this great message of John the Baptist, concerning Jesus himself, at point number three, there are those who rejected. John came to give witness. John came as a messenger. He came as a prophet. And there were people who rejected. It's hard to fathom, isn't it, that someone would reject Jesus Christ? I mean, grace and mercy, the epitome of love expressed to us. And people rejected Jesus. They did not come to faith. They did not become new in their soul, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. And Jesus, the Son, the triune God, created the world. He created the world, and then he came into the world, and they rejected him. That does not make sense to me. I mean, Jesus could come and say, hey, I created everything. And they reject the Creator. That is Romans chapter 1, when it says the people of depraved minds chose to worship creation rather than the Creator. And therefore, God gave them over to debased minds and hearts. And so they burned with unruly passions in and of themselves. The world did not acknowledge the Creator. They rejected Jesus Christ. They refused to be in God's light. Why is that? Because they enjoy the darkness. You see, when God's light shines on people, they see themselves in his light, not their own. And when we're exposed to the good news of Jesus Christ, for whatever reason, sometimes there's shame, there's guilt, there's animosity, there's a reckoning, in a sense, that we've got to come to terms with God. And some people reject the message of goodness. They reject the message of Jesus Christ. They reject the preaching of Jesus Christ. So when John the Baptist, and we'll see his life and ministry, it says he's a witness to the light. He was not the light. He's just a man. When he preached, many people scoffed at him. They rejected him. They saw themselves in light of God's holiness. And they retreated back to the darkness. Now, in verse 11, it says that Jesus came to the promised land. Jesus came to Israel. Jesus came to the Hebrews, his own people. You know how they treated our Lord? They rejected him. The people that had all the promises, all the prophecies, the heritage of faith, the Apostle Paul talks about, man, you had the law, you had the temple, you had everything. But they didn't have the Messiah. They rejected the Lord Jesus, and therefore they rejected a relationship with the God who they wanted to know. They wanted to worship, but they just reject him. You're not our Messiah, you're not our Lord. And know this, John the Baptist preached to a lot of educated people. Well-versed in the Hebrew faith, he had scholars regularly coming to him and challenging him. And John, an untrained guy from the wilderness, confounded them. They did not understand how this guy that looks and sounds like Elijah, has no formal training, how is it we keep coming back to him and we don't agree with him? That's one of the beauties of John's life. Whenever your enemies can't stand you, but they keep coming back for more. So when John preached to them, It says he gave witness to the light. He bore witness to Christ. He's just a messenger. He's just a man. But whenever they rejected John, they rejected Jesus. Whenever they rejected the message, they rejected God. Now, later in the Gospels, particularly in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says, whenever they reject you, whenever you share my message of hope and truth, if they reject you, they reject me. When Jesus sent out the 72 disciples in Luke chapter 10, he gives them this little spiritual caveat right as they're about to go out. Luke chapter 10, verse 16, the one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So when they reject John, they're rejecting Jesus. If they reject Jesus himself, they are rejecting God. That's a terrible point to end on, isn't it? So we're not going to end on that point. I got a fourth one for you. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. We can't end on that note. Verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the note we're going to end on. Not those who reject or rejected. Number four, those who receive. Those who hear the message, they take it and make it their own. So not everyone rejected the Lord Jesus. Not everyone scoffed at the preaching of John the Baptizer. Some people heard. And they didn't just hear just an earthly message. They heard the voice of God interwoven in that homily. They heard John's message. They heard him, but they heard God. They saw John, but they saw the light of God, and they embraced it because they saw themselves that they needed the Messiah, and so they came to life. They believed. They opened up their heart and trusted in Christ. It's interesting the way John the disciple, the beloved disciple, captures and describes this interaction. He says in the text, verse 12, that they became children of God. That they were, in a sense, born again, like John chapter 3 says, a man must be born again to see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 1, he says, they became like children. It's interesting, the terminology and the question, why do we explain it in those terms? Because it's simple. It's simplicity. A child hears, trusts, and believes, and they live in light of that. We as adults muddy the waters. It's a lot easier for a child to hear and receive versus it is us. Why is that? Because we like numbers. We call it wisdom. We think, I don't know if this will work. Does my insurance even cover that? Does anyone else ever deal with that question but me and my family? I don't know if this is God's will. We have a whole litany of criteria that to hear God's voice and to make a decision, we got to go through these top 10 questions. But if you talk to a child, why did you trust in Christ? Why did you do this? God wanted me to. We have lost the childlike wonder of faith that our soul screams, come back to the simplicity. Come back to the basics of following after me. We say a person has childlike faith when they simply trust in God. We have moved away from that. Why do we do that? Because Jesus said we should become like children. He said we should be childlike. He says it in Mark chapter 10. when they were bringing the children to him, his disciples wanted to get in the way. He said, no, that's not the professional way to do things. And it says in Mark chapter 10, 13 and following, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples, those closest to Christ, rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Let's be childlike. Now, some of your spouses say, I've heard this before from them. I'm saying be simplistic and childlike in your faith. Back when it was so easy to trust in God, it all made perfect sense. When we hear the voice of God and we can believe and trust in him. And it's so simple, it's so refreshing just to hear his voice and to be faithful in walking with him. Now there is an image that's going to pop up on the screen and I want you to recognize it. This is the new logo for our kids' worship that started today. That's a beautiful logo. I know what you're thinking, Pastor, did you design that? We all know the answer to that. I did not. I tried to submit my thoughts and I was rejected. Point number three, I was rejected rather quickly. And it's not coincidence. The guys on staff and I have prayed. We knew I was going to start John the Baptist series today. And it just so happened, by coincidence, by sheer chance, that we talk about becoming children of God. This is starting in a room right off the gym, a kids' worship service. You say, Pastor, why are we doing that? So that those kids can receive the gospel. So that they can hear the message, so that they can receive the truth, and they can walk away changed. We got a host of adult volunteers to help teach, people I'm so comfortable with. Church, we have got to do more in reaching kids. We've got to do more in reaching students. We've got to do more in reaching families. You say, what are we going to do? We're going to give them the message that they can receive. We're going to present the gospel in such a way that they can hear it and understand it. The same truth you hear in this room, in this worship center, which God has blessed us with, it's the same message, just presented in a different way in the kids' worship service. I'm so excited about what the church is doing to combat lostness in our community. Church, we've been very blessed. We're very comfortable. It's time to start making some moves. It's time to become like children because those are the ones who inherit the kingdom, not us with our religious backgrounds and all of our religious practice. It's the children who inherit the kingdom. And by the way, the same Spirit who saved you is saving them. The same Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 that gives you the gifts and gives them the gifts. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one Spirit over all. That's why we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We got to set the principle right now. We're going to reach families. We're going to present the gospel. We're going to worship in different ways. Why is that? So they can receive Lord Jesus Christ, just like those in this room, just like those listening online can receive the message. They can grow in their faith, and then they can experience biblical teaching in whatever fashion. Now, the gospel, the message. In John chapter 1, there's only two options when presented with the gospel. It's either you reject the gospel or you receive the gospel. There are no in-betweens. There's no middle ground when it comes to Jesus Christ. It's either you're all in or you're completely absolved of the situation. You can't say, oh, I really like his teaching, but then not commit to him. It's 100% either way. So I'm going to ask you today, concerning the gospel, do you reject it or do you receive it? For those who have received the gospel, it's simple faith that gets us to him. That's all he requires. It's not the background. It's not having all the knowledge. It's simple faith. like a child that brings you into the kingdom. Now, concerning John, we'll get more into his life in the coming weeks and months, but he was a man with a purpose. It says he was on a mission from God himself. What I've noticed in church life here and other places, sometimes we lose track of our purpose, our sense of identity, what God wants us to do. And if that's you, if you're struggling with purpose, pray to God and say, God, reveal to me, reassure me, convict me, show me. By your Holy Spirit, allow me to do what you want me to do. And I will say this in light of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Church, use your gifts. Use your abilities, your talents, your desires. Use your dreams that God placed in your heart to do great things for the kingdom. Why are we holding back? Maybe it's not about the gospel or decisions after the gospel. Maybe it's not about purpose, but maybe you're going through something right now. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing, and in that time, you can pray. If your heart is heavy laden, if you're burdened, you can cast all of your cares upon Christ, and he'll give you peace. Maybe after the service is over, you want to stick around. I'll be here if you want to pray. If you need to make a decision, even after the service and the invitation is over with, you can still do that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the life of John. Thank you for the simplicity we see in him. And Father, may we take that even further. May we become like children, just so basic in our understanding of you and ourselves, and we walk with you. Father, if someone has rejected the gospel, those in person or those online, I pray that you would soften their heart so they could receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray if someone needs to trust in you, I pray that they would simply open up their heart like Lydia did in Acts 16. Just open up their heart and just trust you. May they cry out to you in faith. Lord, if there are decisions to be made, if there are prayers to be prayed, may it be done now. Holy Spirit, would you guide us and direct us in worship and also in application in response to your word. Father, we thank you for Jesus, God the Son sent for man. May everything we do and say bring glory to him. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.